So after that, for Hip Hop Express at 6, Blues Live at 8, and Lounge Music and Exotica on the Bachelor Pad at 10.
You are listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is, of course, the place to go for all things local, arts, food and drink, music, culture, tech, and much, much more. I'm your host, Sean, and I'm joined by my co-host, Rebecca.
Hello.
Hi. Our opening track today was Michael Barrato. He's a singer-songwriter out of Indianapolis, and he'll be performing this weekend, in fact, over at Exile on Main Street on their new location that is not on Main Street. Sunday at 6 p.m. Yes, they've been exiled, actually exiled from Main Street. Yeah. Where they're shared space with Dandelion now. Yeah, so Sunday, 6 p.m., go check out Michael Barrato. And I think another act or two will be there as well. Sounds pretty cool. Our guest today, we have Jessica Paris, the Director of Project Management and Product Marketing, as well as Brandon Bowersax Johnson, the Chief Technology Officer, both from Pixo in Urbana. Thanks both of you for joining us.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having us. Good afternoon.
So to kick things off right away, tell us about Pixo. What is Pixo? How long has Pixo been around?
So yeah, Pixo is a great little business in downtown Urbana that maybe a lot of people haven't heard of. We build custom software and mobile apps and design awesome interactive websites. And we've been there in downtown Urbana since 1998, just
That's
growing.
That's like pre-apps.
Yeah, it is like pre-apps, totally.
It's almost like a marker, like BC or something.
Yeah, there were like Palm Pilots and, you know, NCSA Mosaic web browser or something. But we've been there for all these years building cool stuff and just have this belief in really empowering employees to get together, bring their best talents to the table, and build stuff that rocks.
And so when did each of you get on board with Pixo?
I've been with Pixo since the early fall of 2012. I came from, I've been here in Champaign for a while, since 95, and I was at Wolfram for quite a long time, project managing and doing product management. And then I came to Pixo to kind of help bring project management a couple years ago.
Yeah, and I've been a townie for my whole life, but started in 1998 and was one of the first employees at Pixo back when we had a company that was doing consulting work, building software for people, but we also had a training, a not-for-profit training arm called the Computer Learning and Mentoring Center. And so we taught free computer programming classes in the evening and did an after-school kids club where kids could learn to use computers. And so anyway, I've been there through all these phases of the business.
So I'm the kind of person that whenever I hear anything about technology, my eyes start to glaze over and I'm like, apps, like, okay, I get like what an app is. But like, other than that, I feel very out of my depth when I'm talking about and thinking about technology and specifically how things are designed and sort of moved through the entire process of like an idea to something that people can actually use. And so I was wondering if you could maybe like break it down for even me, in terms of what your role is with managing ideas and how they go through the company, and also just kind of like the process. Like, what is it like if somebody wants to build something? How does it start and what happens with it? And then, you know, who's involved in that kind of way?
Yeah. Well, every project's different, of course. So some people come to the table and come talk to us because they have this like brilliant burning idea. And that's it. Some people come to us and they've already sketched out what they want every single thing to look like. And some people come to us and they're very technical and they know a lot about what they want. So every project's different. But when we typically get a client, there's often a big part of requirements gathering at first. We have to know what it is they want and all the requirements of it. We build things from very complex software systems that are for like internal workflows to websites. And so the process for learning about both of those are very different, but it starts with really understanding what the people do that we work for, what their audience needs if it's a website. So we have requirements gathering. So we have strategy folks, project managers, and user experience, information architects, and technical software engineers. And we get together and we learn a lot about the clients. We learn about what they do. And we create lots of deliverables and work with them and have working sessions and really uncover everything about them. In that phase, we've had clients say that some of our UX folks know what they do better than they do. So because they get to know every part, whereas you often at a business, you know what you do. And so we have to know what everybody does so that we can make everything work well together. So once we've really uncovered everything we need to do, we have graphic designers and developers and everything gets built. There's a lot of different stages throughout the process of deliverables and making sure that we get check in with the client to make sure that we are building what they want. We work as much as we can in an agile fashion. So we try to be very iterative and put things in front of the client all the time and collaborate with them a lot and be really flexible. So so when we're building a mobile app, you know, sometimes things change at the last minute because once it's in your hand, it changes. You know, once a client gets something in their hand or they start to test it, they're like, oh, I did ask for that very specifically, but that's not what I want now. So we work with the client to just do whatever they want when they want it and just kind of be really flexible in giving them the best product yeah. at the end.
Sure. Yeah, and our whole philosophy through all those stages is like making technology that's just drop dead simple to use, like so your eyes don't have to glaze over. Like if you notice the technology, then it's getting in the way and it's a problem. You know, it should be like so simple that you just pick up your phone and do the thing you need to do, and you don't even really have to notice that you're fighting with this app. So we really have this collaborative approach where designers and user experience staff and programmers are all sitting down together figuring out, like, how do we make stuff that is just that drop-dead simple that people won't even realize, you know, that they have to go through steps to use it. They just like, oh, yeah, what they need is right in front of them.
So both of you, I'm assuming, sort of wear multiple hats at Pixel. And Pixel itself sounds like a place that where it's a company that has multiple hats. Would you define it more as like a tech company, a software company, or is it more of a design firm? I mean, like really, like what do you, where are you trying to like position the company?
Yeah, we've always been since the start a firm that brings both art and engineering to the table and mixes that all up together. So it's, you know, in every meeting and everything we do, it's the artists and the engineers all sitting down and working to make things beautiful that are also functional, that are also, you know, robust. And so it's really fun because you get to collaborate with people of all these different disciplines and you get to kind of push yourself and cross boundaries into things you didn't know you could do.
I'm a little curious. You mentioned like what you want to do is make it drop dead simple. I mean, is it boiling it down to that? Is that, I mean, what are the challenges you face when trying to get to that point where it is the customer or the user isn't glazing over and you know, like we've hit it, this is drop dead simple.
Yeah. It's a lot of iterative work. So we build these things called wireframes, for example, which is like, so before we build a mobile app or a web system, we build this clickable little wireframe, which is sort of a mock-up, a prototype that you can try out on your phone or your tablet or your computer. And you can try it out and like drive through it as if you were really using the system to do whatever you were going to do that day, you know, make a magazine or order an auto part or whatever. And you can use it as if you were using the real thing. And then we have our staff sit and watch real human beings try to use the thing. And every time the person scrunches up their face or gets confused or, you know, cusses at the thing, you're like, oh, well, there's a problem. Okay, if we confused this real human being, if we, you know, if we gave them grief, then we haven't done our jobs yet. Yeah. So let's go back to the drawing board and make it simpler and simpler and simpler. So it's really about watching users use things and then iteratively continuing to improve it until you really can see that it's just simple and fun.
Yeah. And we try to communicate to our clients too and in the world that software design and web design is it's never over. There's always improvements. It's always changing. You never make a website and then want to leave it there forever.
That's all it's ever going to be.
Right. Yeah, and so you're always going to, as our culture changes, as your company changes, there's always going to be things you want to change about it. So usability testing constantly and making it clear to our clients that it's not over when it's over. It's a milestone. And, you know, you want to keep going and you want to keep improving it. And our clients who have really embraced that concept have been the most successful ones.
So could you tell us a little bit about some of the clients that you've worked with over the years? Obviously, many years. Maybe some of the clients that are, you know, have been particularly big projects or things like that, but maybe also the clients you're working with currently.
Yeah. So one cool one is an organization called Emerald Cloud Lab, and they're on the web at emeraldcloudlab.com. They are this really awesome group of geeks,
brilliant.
Really brilliant scientists.
Yeah, brilliant scientists.
Who decided that maybe they could help scientists do lab experiments cheaper and faster by putting their whole laboratory in the cloud. So they have in their laboratory, you know, in the cloud, which is really in a huge facility in California, they have really expensive, you know, $1 million lab equipment that
robots.
Can run all these complicated
robots.
Tests. Yeah, and like
is what it is.
Robots
these are
that can
lab robots.
Yeah,
that do your experiments.
Yeah,
for you.
It's the future.
It is the future.
Yeah, it is.
So robots like, are doing science.
Right. So like, if I want to cure cancer or cure HIV or something, I don't have to buy the $1 million piece of lab equipment anymore and like set it up in my, you know, place on campus and buy all these things and pipettes and hire all these, you know, GAs to like drop a drop of this from here to there and then stir it for 2 hours.
Samples and
And then repeat that 800 times and spin it around in a centrifuge. Like instead you can just program that experiment in this cloud lab and say, okay, so take my sample and then run it through this centrifuge and then do this and then do that. And then, you know, stir it for 3 days and keep it at this temperature. And you just tell the system to do that. And these robots in the cloud, in this lab with all the best, most expensive equipment, run that experiment for you. Mm-hmm. And then when the results are in, they send it to you. Mm-hmm. And they can run it faster and quicker because they have like tons of equipment and can do a bunch of things in parallel. And you get your data back in this really rich way where you have exact data about everything and the temperature and the space and the timing and which little robot stirred your sample. And so we take a client like that, Emerald Cloud Lab, and we helped explain what that concept was, because that's like a whole new way to do science, mm-hmm. By working with them really collaboratively to create their new website. And so we did the design and the user interface of emeraldcloudlab.com and did animations and interactive graphics to kind of storytell mm-hmm. what that's like for a scientist who's used mm-hmm. to just doing it in their office and scribbling in their lab notebook, to bring that all to this robot-powered cloud laboratory that's totally digital and step through what that's like for a scientist to use and how that can be transformational. So that's an example of what we try to do is break down this really complicated, cool thing and tell a story online in a fun, enjoyable way. Mm-hmm.
But with like amazing develop technology. So like making this beautiful website that's very, has as good technology behind it as they have in their business. So yeah. It has to reflect on what they do.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a bit about, I mean, the space with Pixo and sort of like the culture of working at Pixo? It's in downtown Urbana, and if I'm not mistaken, it's on Goose Alley.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of hidden, so a lot of people don't know about us because they don't drive by and see, you know, the Pixo name on a building somewhere. But if you drive down Goose Alley, you'll see it.
Ride your bike.
We're kind of nestled right in between the Courier Cafe, and we're behind Main Street, so we're behind the cinema. Art gallery. We share the back of that building. So the inside of it is this old theater. It's got beautiful architecture. And our CEO has taken great care to make the interior and the way our building looks to be really beautiful. So the environment's wonderful and collaborative and open. There's a lot of common areas to hang out in. Mm-hmm. And we actually have a few what we call annexes. So we have a few spaces and buildings down from our main office. So you have to kind of go up an alley. So you would never know. But beautiful big spaces with collaborative workspace and offices and stuff. So.
So you were mentioning before the show that just in the last couple of years, Pixo has doubled in size in terms of employees. And so I'm curious, like, what has sparked this big increase? What kinds of projects are you working on currently?
I think,
For years we were like 10 or 12 employees, and now there's, I think, 32 or 33, we were trying to count. 32 or 33 full-time folks who work there. And just the demand and branching out into new interesting stuff, it's really nice now to have this many people when we can have sub-specialties of folks who, mm-hmm. You know, like Jessica leads a team of project managers and QA quality assurance staff who like test the heck out of everything we do and mm-hmm. keep us on track. And it's really nice to have specialists in that and in graphic mm-hmm. design and user interface. And when it was a smaller team, it was a great close-knit group, and for years we did cool stuff. But now that we've been able to grow, it's been really fun to bring more skill sets and more specialties to the table.
Yeah, as we've gotten bigger, you know, Brandon and Lori, you know, can't be those roles on all those projects. They can't manage all the relationships and manage all the technology. So we've had to, as we've had more clients, had to grow every single arm of it, from project management to QA to usability and graphic design, our software engineering team. Like, we just grow and grow. Interns, like, yeah, we run the gamut now because more work, more people. And we do take work that we love. So mm-hmm. It's we want to do it right, and so we want to have the right people at the table to do every project well, and so we've had to bulk up every single area. the company.
Yeah.
If you weren't from around here, I don't think that you would think of Champaign-Urbana as being a place to have as large scale of a tech scene as it does. What do you think it is about the area that?
But you would be wrong.
Right, you would be wrong. I think that it's sort of amazing for the demographic and the population size to have so many companies that are doing such exciting work in technology and the branches of that. What is it about this place that I think really allows these types of places like Pixo to really thrive and triple in size?
Well, I mean, it's the university, of course. They've been churning out, you know, computer engineering, software engineering, you know, huge names in that for years.
Yeah. I mean, this town has a bunch of gems that I think people don't know are here. There's big companies like Wolfram that makes Mathematica, which is awesome software, or Frasca that makes flight simulators in Urbana. And you would, like, drive by Frasca and not even realize what they do there. But there's smaller companies like Pixo and a lot of others, and a ton of cool spin-offs from university technology that turns into cool new stuff in the medical world or climate change and green energy world and on all kinds of things. So it's a great town for low cost of living. You know, we started Pixo without any debt or any loans or anything. We just like showed up and everybody brought their own home computer and their own chairs and like a dumpster dived couch. And we said like, okay, now we'll just like start working and start a business. And so in this town, you can just create something out of nothing because it's an affordable place to live where there's just so much raw talent. Mm-hmm. And so I think our community is great for that.
Yeah. We've actually been on, in the last year, I've seen more and more of having Champaign-Urbana listed on those lists of up and coming tech locations. Exactly. So I think we'll not be the hidden gem for long. I think we're getting more well known.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask this question about sort of the skills that you use in the work that you do that are maybe unexpected or that people wouldn't really think about when they're thinking about like designing an app or like designing software or something like this. So I was trying to think how to phrase this. Maybe one thing would be, I know you have interns, and like what are interns surprised by about the process? Or I don't know if there's some thing that you do in your work, like some skill or some like something that you tap into that people wouldn't expect when they hear tech.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's cool is just that people got into our industry from every different direction. And to do what we do, it's not like you have to go off and have a degree in it. I mean, some people have computer science or computer engineering backgrounds, and that's awesome. But we have just as many people who have, like, a PhD in psychology or math or creative writing or
painting.
Something.
Joanna.
We have painting graduates and people who did sculpture and all kinds of. So it's people get into this creative intersection between technology and arts from so many different entry points, and every one of those skills, somehow they find a way in their workplace that it actually applies and that they bring something new to the table that the rest of us on the team didn't have.
I think the common thread between all of our departments is the passion for what we do. Like, everybody's like really, really wants to do the best. There's a lot of, like, not perfectionists, but, like, people who just want to do good at what they do. There's no slack, and there's no, like, well, this is how we did it before, so this is how we're going to do it again. Mm-hmm. It's people who want to learn about the industry and make really beautiful technology. So in my team, project managers, there's not a lot of, like, I'm going to get my bachelor's degree in project management. There's not a lot of that happening. Right. It happens in some places, but, you know, we... you know, have hired people who generally are problem solvers, communicators, you know, and I think that crosses into all of our departments, people who want to collaborate with people from all different backgrounds, because that's how you get the best product in the end.
Yeah. Pardon the cliche here, but I'm just curious, where is Pixo headed? What's the future for Pixo?
I think we want to keep doing really cool stuff. We'll probably keep growing at a, you know, sustainable sort of pace. And we love downtown Urbana, so I think we're going to stay there for quite some time, as long as there's good food and stuff down there, especially.
hint, Black Dog.
Yeah, exactly.
More walls to knock through to keep expanding our space.
We'll find a way to grow in Urbana. And We're not particularly hiring right now, but we're always looking for people who know how to build mobile apps or know .NET or know web backend or web frontend, JavaScript type programming. So people can always email resumes at pixotech.com if what we're describing sounds like you and you're like, oh my God, that's, you know, exactly what I want
to
do.
Working close to Black Dog.
Yeah, or that. So we're constantly reviewing resumes and trying to find talent and people.
And
who
it changes quickly too, you know, like I think within a month from now, we could be looking for all sorts of things. Yeah. And like, so you never know because clients, they're knocking down our door, really. I mean, they come to us, which is really exciting. We have good word of mouth, which speaks really well to the quality of work we do. Like, most of our people who come to us are, it's because somebody's referred them, which is with you interviewing us. Who is Pixo? Yeah. How would you know otherwise?
So I think the growth is because partly this industry just keeps growing, and like every part of our lives becomes digital, and there's just so much more of a need for these sort of skills. And so clients have just been like knocking down the doors to get our time, and we've been able to say, okay, great, we can hire more people, and we'd love to keep doing that and create a great workplace that's empowering and family friendly and has good work-life balance. And if we can keep growing and doing that, we'd love
game
to.
Game night?
Yeah. And play some games? Perfect. Totally.
Board games?
Excellent. Well, Jessica and Brandon, thank you so much for joining us on Smile Politely Radio. And give our regards to Lori and everyone else back at Pixo.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Smile Politely Radio on WEFT 90.1 FM. SmilePolitely.com is, of course, the place to go for everything local. So if you need to know about anything local, from sports to food to tech to culture, go to smilepolitely.com and then open another tab in your browser and go over to Facebook and find Smile Politely Radio and like it. We want 1,000,000 likes by the end of the weekend.
You sound so angry, like it or else.
Please like Smile Politely Radio on Facebook. Our closing track today is going to be Heart of Gold by Layla McCalla off of her recently released album, Very Colored Songs. Thank you for listening. Find us on smilepolitely.com midweek, of course, for the podcast and a downloadable version that you can listen to over and over and over again. Good night.